Hi, everyone. Before we get started on today's episode, we'd just like to hear a quick word from our sponsor. Hair by Escandalo and The Other Side are sister businesses that work together to provide everything from awesome haircuts and colors to waxing services, facials, makeup, lash extensions, and nails. The salon offers a wide array of talented specialty stylists and offers virtual consultations before your color appointments to ensure you get what you're expecting. The Other Side is a boutique, spa, and clothing store featuring jewelry from different artists all over the country and curated upcycled fashion. None of their services or clothing are gendered, so everyone can feel safe and included from start to finish. Want an appointment? Visit their website, escandalohair.com, or on Instagram, @escandalohair, for the online booking link. 10% off your services if you mention But What Do We Know podcast. Thank you so much to Escandalo, and let's get on with today's episode.
DMT will expand your mind.
But what do we know?
Talking John Bonet as we sip our wine.
But what do we know?
Dead kids get Marissa psyched.
But what do we know?
Anna's got the scoop on Princess Di.
Podcast episode 144. I'm Marissa.
And I'm Anna.
We're back.
Hey.
Yay.
I just want to apologize ahead of time. There may be some background noise in our intro because I'm actively pumping milk out of my boobs. So my pump is going. It should end in, you know, the next like 15 minutes or so. But just in case anyone wondering what that pumping noise is, it's a literal like, pump.
What's that?
Sorry.
Does it hurt? I think I asked you this last time.
It doesn't like hurt. It's just like a sensation. It's like annoying.
Yeah.
It shouldn't hurt. I think if it hurts, that means you're like doing it wrong, or if the wrong Something's size or wrong. Something, yeah.
So, what's up?
Not much. It's, you know, just hanging out. Still on maternity leave, so.
Yes.
I'm getting very sad about going back
to
work.
No, I know.
I just, you know, cry almost every day thinking about it.
When do you go back, if you don't mind me asking?
September 6th is my official return date. The September 5th is Labor Day, so I'd be off anyway. September 6th, I go back, but it's my work from home day, so that's nice. It's my first day back.
That's cool.
And the next day, the 7th, is an in-office day, so that's like my first day back in the old office.
Well, then at least the first day back, you'll get an easier maybe a little easier transition.
Yeah, I think, like, before I left for leave, my supervisor at the time said, like, the first, like, week or 2 weeks even, maybe, like, the month back after taking such a long time off, it's just going to be, like, me, like, you know, setting, all my passwords are expired, like, I can't get into anything, I have to, like, call IT, I have to go through, like, 6 months worth of emails.
It's like a new job, basically.
Yeah, there's like tons of trainings I'm sure I miss, so it's just like catching up on all of that for the first couple of weeks. It's not going to be easy. It's still going to be like annoying and, you know, a lot to get through, but at least it's not like me having to like actively like, you know, see people and stuff. But
right,
and it's more so just I don't want to be away from my baby, so
no, I can't imagine. Well, especially because, like, you guys literally have been together.
Every day.
Every day. Like, inside of your body at some points as well.
Yup.
Like, I can imagine that is a scary, weird thing.
The longest I've been away from him was when I went to your bachelorette party.
Oh, no.
And then your wedding will be my first like overnight without him.
Oh.
So.
Well, I'm here to help.
I think you'll be a little busy.
No, I mean like I'm here to help transition. I'm here to help. I'll watch him.
Yeah, right.
Well. I'll eat his little face.
I was talking with Melissa, East Coast Ghost Melissa, yeah. And she was like, we were talking about the wedding. She's like, I said, oh, like, I have to, like, I'll be, like, taking breaks to go pump. She's like, oh, that's okay. I'll watch Remy. I was like, Remy's not at the wedding.
There's a green room. That's what I was going to tell you. So we actually got the bigger room in the venue. So there's a little green, it's like the concert venue, and there's a green room. So it's just up the stairs. You can just pump there. But I think he'll be okay. Are you, like, not excited, but are you at all happy to go back to work? Or no, are you just like,
absolutely,
I'd
not
rather die? Okay. That's how I'm sure I would not be. So
it's just
some people,
like,
are like, oh, it's schedule. And
a part of me was like, not looking forward to it, but like, it was kind of like, bite the bullet, like, go back into like your routine and your schedule. Yeah. But the other part of me is like, I don't want, like, I wish I didn't have to. Like, I wish I didn't have
to. Yeah, you
to
like
go
your
work.
Schedule now.
Yeah, I like. Me and Remy have a great time hanging out, and, you know, like, I don't want to go back to fucking work. Especially, like, it's not even just, like, work. It's the commute, and then yes. It's, like, coming home, and then, like, obviously getting Remy ready for bed, but then, like, trying to figure out, like, oh, like, what are we eating for dinner? Like, when can I clean? When can I do laundry? Like,
yeah,
that type of shit, you know?
I don't even have a baby, and I don't know how to do that.
I can't even do it now with the baby. Like, never mind having work on top of that. It's just...
Yeah.
But then I have,
figure
like...
it out.
People were like, your mistake was you took too much time off of work. I was like, listen...
No, that's not a mistake.
Like, most developed countries give, like, way more time than I took off for work. Yeah. So, I don't want to hear it.
It's not a mistake. It's America's mistake.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But, whatever. Well... I'll just deal with it when that time comes.
You still have more than a month, so.
That's why I was texting my friends. I was like, 30 days left. They're like, Anna, you have 30 days left. I'm like,
yeah, 30 days. It's like 4 weeks. That's a while.
Like, for most women or people who have babies, it's like a third of their leave, like, that I have left.
Like, 30 days. No, I'm sure. I'm sure that I would feel the same way.
I literally have a countdown on my calendar. I've had this countdown since the day I gave birth, when I have to go back to the office.
Ugh. Gross.
But, yeah, no, that's... I think that's all I really have. Nothing much going on here. Yeah. What's up with you? How was your trip?
Oh, my God. My trip was really nice, but, like... I had a lot of fun. It was a fun trip. It was nice to get away, but it's way too hot in Savannah.
I was going to ask you, because we had a heat wave, and it was fucking hot here in Pennsylvania, and I was thinking, like, oh my God, Marissa must be dying in Savannah.
I was... First of all, we drank the whole weekend.
Of course.
So not only was I... Well, I got to say, though, like, the group of girls that I went with were some of the most responsible drinkers I've ever met.
Wow, cannot relate.
And they came with liquid IVs, Powerades. We had food always at the ready. They're like, maybe later we might want pizzas. We
so
might
responsible.
Want... Oh my God. So, like, as much as we drank, the hangovers weren't terrible.
Right. That's smart.
But oh, it was so freaking hot. In my mind, I was like, oh, I'll be okay. Like, it won't be, you know, it won't be so bad. It's humid here. Like, blah, 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 blah. We had a pool at the house that we stayed at, which was, like, amazing. But we spent the majority of time in the pool, because going outside was not worth it.
No. I told you, when I went to Savannah in, like, late April, early May, that was still too hot for me.
Yeah. There was, like, one point where we were walking into the town, and I was drinking a drink, and it had vodka in it, and I was actively sweating it out. Like, I could... I know that's not how the body works, but, like, I could just feel it coming out of me. Like...
Now, let me ask, was Chelsea more used to the heat because she lives in Florida?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we all woke... So, like, it was me, another girl, Kelly, who lives in Scranton.
Oh.
And then another girl, Sarah, who lives in Buffalo, New York.
Oh my God. So Chelsea was the only one that was comfortable.
Chelsea's like, yeah, this is pretty normal. And we're like, all of us, we walked outside. We immediately got sunburned. We were all sweating.
Oh my God.
But no, it was really fun. Savannah's a really cool town.
Isn't it so cute?
It's so cute. I wish we, like, I think if it wasn't so hot, we would have spent more time there.
Yeah.
But we did, we did a true crime tour.
Yes.
And a true crime pub crawl.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't even really drunk, but I asked the host to come on our podcast. his name's Tim.
Hey, Tim.
And he basically told us stories about, like, just true crime stories that happened in Savannah, and then showed us where the bars were. Like, it was hilarious. And I'm like, yeah, well, Kelly, she was like, Marissa has a true crime podcast, Tim. And I'm like, oh. And I'm like, you could be, she's like, maybe you could be on it. Like, okay, so shout out to Tim.
Hey, Tim.
If he's listening. I'm sure he's not, but he did a great job.
Good job, Tim.
Great job, Tim. But yeah, so now back, and let me tell you, it was one, really good to be home, and two, it is nonstop right now.
Yeah, you have a wedding in like nine days.
9 days.
Yeah. How you feeling? Are you ready to be a married woman?
A matron.
A matron.
I am so freaked out. Not about being married. That part's easy. Like, we already got, like, our license and everything like that. Like, whatever. It's the whole, like, party situation that has me terrified.
It'll be fine. Everything will be great.
It will, but, like, what if it's not? And everybody remembers it as the worst wedding they've ever been to in their life.
I've been to a couple, like, not great weddings. So don't worry, yours, the one, I'm not gonna say whose wedding it was, but I went to one wedding where it wasn't like they like the whatever bride and groom, like, they supplied the alcohol for the wedding. Mm-hmm. Like, they bought it, and they ran out of alcohol at the wedding.
I've been to one of those as well.
And then the food at the wedding, it was like buffet style, which is like fine. It was catered by like a barbecue place. Okay. So
I've been to a couple weddings like this, actually.
Well, as a vegetarian, the only thing I could eat was salad and like mashed potatoes.
Mm.
And then also at this wedding, the dance floor, where people were dancing. Everyone had tables for like dinner, and then it turned into a dance floor. But it wasn't big enough for the dance floor, so they had to take away some tables. So some people just didn't have seats once dancing started.
Perfect. Because I think I will have covered all of those things.
The staff, like, they waited until like people got up to dance, and they just took away their tables and chairs.
Oh my God.
So I think you'll be okay. That was,
I think,
that was one, that was all in one wedding.
Oh.
Yeah. That was all in one wedding that I went to.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So
yeah. Well, that I think will be
okay. I hope no one from that wedding listens to this.
They're like, that son of a bitch.
Sorry.
That son of a bitch. But yeah, otherwise, like, it's just like little things now. And little things are not my specialty. Like, I'm great at the big picture.
Yeah. I feel like that's how we balance each other out. Like, you're big picture, I'm detailed.
Exactly.
Too bad we're not getting married together.
Right. But I know a lot of the people in my life are fine detail people.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very, like, you included, I'm very fortunate to have, because I'm like, I want pink and that's it. Like, you know what I mean? So we'll see.
And then you have me bothering you, like, what color should I paint my nails? Is there going to be somewhere I can pump my breast milk out?
No, it's smart, because that shit I don't even think about. I'm like, dang, I gotta figure out what color I should paint my nails. No, I appreciate it. I was actually at work, and we had a wedding in the clubhouse where I work.
Mm-hmm.
and they were setting up. This was 2 weekends ago. And they're like, where's the card box? And I'm like, sitting at the thing like, what the... What?
A card box?
What do you mean a card box? And then I had to like rush order a card box because I totally forgot about it.
That'll be like, fine.
That's the kind of stuff. I
oh,
know,
that reminds
I
me.
Know.
I have to get a card.
You don't have to get a card. Just edit these podcast episodes for me. That's a gift. But like... The rest is all... Why? Did you cry this week?
So tell me why do you cry? Tell me why do you cry? What pushed you to the brink? In your car or by the kitchen sink? Tell me why.
Oh, I'm sure I did. I mean, all of my cries have been about going back to work. That's basically... Yeah, I don't have anything that sticks out besides just crying about going back to work.
So, my cry today was about partially... Well, not this podcast, like, but my topic.
Oh, no!
Okay, I had a terrible day today.
Oh.
And I'm okay. And I'm not even going to have you take this part out. But basically, I learned that it's very possible that my job is getting phased out. And
it's a great way to start a marriage.
Yeah.
Honey.
So, yeah, guess what? By the internet. And everyone, my manager is telling me, no, that's not going to happen. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I think that if they can use the internet over paying a person, it's very possible. So
right.
I had that. It's not like a thing where I'm like losing my job, but I have a feeling soon, like within a year or so,
mm-hmm.
it'll be that way. So I had a little bit of a breakdown about that. And then just like general wedding stress. And then my topic today, I was convinced, was making me sick.
Oh,
and
God.
And I'm like, I couldn't even finish it because I was doing it less. I decided to do a scary one.
Of course.
And now I'm convinced that I'm
ill.
Gonna get sick because of it.
Oh, no.
Right, and it's not even good.
I'm gonna get sick.
No, you're not. You're not. I'm just crazy. And then I also have this fear that I'm going to get COVID or monkeypox before
Stop,
the wedding.
I've been worrying about monkeypox too.
What the heck?
I'm not like too worried about COVID because I already had COVID and like pretty sure my immunity's up from being vaccinated and boosted and getting COVID.
True.
But monkeypox?
It's a little scary.
Not.
It's ugly.
It is ugly.
It's in, it's here now.
It's in Pennsylvania, yeah.
Yeah, it's in the Lehigh Valley.
I think, was it Geisinger? One of them. Commonwealth Health, one of the, like, health companies. They confirmed that they have cases of it, but they won't say where in Pennsylvania. And
they
I'm
should
like,
definitely say
what
that.
What the fuck?
Oh. Yeah, so I hope I don't get either of those things before the wedding.
Fingers crossed.
I said... If anybody tests positive for COVID around me, I'm just like, please don't tell me. Just don't tell. I don't want to know until after the wedding.
Yeah, no. Mm-mm. Just stay away.
Just don't tell me. Don't come near me. I don't want to know. So there's this trail by my house.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody went missing on it while I was in Georgia.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Okay, so... So he went missing, I believe, on like Thursday. He went out on the trail, like literally right below where I live. And then on Sunday, they found his body off of the hiking trail about 2 miles away of where he was last seen.
No.
Slightly off. His name was Artem Zaliobovsky, who's 31 and last seen on Thursday. and they found him Sunday at 10:30. And yeah, he was only 2.5 miles away from where he went missing.
Oh my God.
And they, no, and they had, I guess, I wasn't here, of course, and they had helicopters and search dogs and everything out, like, to look for him, and then they found him, and he's dead. But they, nobody's confirmed why or how he's dead.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, it says police said the cause of death remains unknown.
That's so There's scary.
No particular reason Zolibovsky would have disappeared when the search began. So, yeah, that's pretty scary.
I want to take Remy out on a hike, but I'm... Well, first of all, it's been too hot to, like, even go outside.
Yeah.
But then I'm, like, scared that, like, something's going to happen. Both of us.
I know. It's so... Oh, it's so freaky.
Especially, like, 2.5 miles from where he started. Like, that's, like, not far at all. Like, what could happen?
What happened? Yeah, what could happen... And I'm really hoping that if it was, like, a murder or something, that the police around here would mention that to the, like, citizens.
Yeah, I feel like if cause of death is unknown, it's, like, evident that it wasn't a murder. Like, wounds, yeah. Do you know what I mean?
But, like, also, wouldn't it, if it was suicide or something like suicide, wouldn't that be also evident? Or, I guess not.
Well, I guess it depends on how he committed suicide. Like, did he OD? Did he, like, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. Or, you know, did he just, it was really hot, so maybe he passed out.
Yeah. Oh, that's so sad. That's why, like, literally I didn't leave my house for, like, 4 days straight because it was too fucking hot. And usually I like to, like, get out of the house with Remy because I wanted to get used to being outside and, like, going places. But it was just too hot to even go in the car.
It's not worth it.
No.
It was way too hot.
No. Also, while you were gone, I was texting you TikTok updates.
Oh, my God. I was
like,
God.
Hey, I know you're, like, on vacation. And I just had to tell you, like, this thing happened on TikTok. Okay, I'll talk to you later. Bye.
We got to talk about it. No, I stopped our whole dinner when you texted me about Ren Eleanor because we were talking about that as a group. And I was like, she put out an update. And they're like, put her on right now.
Okay, so if you don't know, go listen to the last episode. If you don't care about TikTok drama, then just, like, skip ahead. So
you're on the wrong podcast.
So Jacqueline, mom of Ren Eleanor, posted an update addressing the... whatever comments, concerns that she's been getting, that she's been exploiting Ren and that Ren is showing up on, like, child porn sites and all of that stuff. And she gave the most, like, fucking scripted statement I've ever seen. And she basically said, like, I appreciate everyone's concern, but I have talked to authorities and there is no credible evidence that she is being posted on inappropriate websites, blah 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 blah. She's like, my demographics is that 74% of my followers are female, and blah blah blah. So I'm like, and she, oh, I disabled duetting, I disabled
sharing and downloading.
So I'm taking these actions to protect my daughter, whatever. And I had so many issues with her statement.
So, first of all, I was sitting... Chelsea, she works... She's primarily a therapist with sex offenders. And she was like, wow, that's really interesting because about 50% of my clients or patients or... I don't know the correct term that she would have used. But she's like, 50% of them are women. So I don't really care. What is it?
Right.
What kind of point are you making by saying that? It's women. But oh my God, it was so I think it was a plant,
really,
like I think, like, she was just doing it for clicks. I feel that way.
Ooh.
Because, well, like, oh
no, go ahead.
No, I just, the way that she read it, like, it was exactly how you just were, like, I said this and my lawyer said this, like, you can't tell me that
you have to, you can't tell me that you don't have any more passion about it as,
yeah,
like, I know everybody's different, of course, but, like, I've seen her other TikToks. She can definitely, like,
yeah, jazz it up a little bit.
Yeah. Like, it's a way more serious issue than what, how she's making it out to be. Like, you guys overreacted is basically what I got from that.
And here's the thing is, like, she's like, oh, well, even if, you know, even if the majority of sex offenders are men, which they probably are, but
yeah,
regardless, she said 74% of my followers are female. It's like, honey, you have 18 million followers. That means right. that 4 million or whatever the math is are men.
Why well, are also people lie on the internet?
That and like that means that you have 4 million men or whatever following your account. They don't have to follow your account to see your content.
Nope.
So you're, and I was reading somewhere, like, TikTok has 1 billion users. So how many people are viewing your content or it's on their FYP without you even knowing it, you know?
I don't follow her and I still see her content.
Yeah, exactly. So she said that, like, pissed me off. And then the other thing, like, oh, I disabled duetting and saving. It's like, honey, you can screen record it.
Anything.
Like, yeah, like, what are you talking about?
It's just, and oh, she was, what did she say? She's like, it's like a living scrapbook yeah. of your daughter's life. Like,
no, you can
do
not.
That
privately.
But you don't, yeah, you don't have to do that for like what 18 million people to see.
And then she's like, I took down the videos that were inappropriate, like the one with like her eating the corn dog and the one with like the tampon. And I'm like, it's already out there. It's
she should,
it's
yeah.
in the world.
Too late. The fact that she didn't even know any better than to post that is alarming.
Like, that would be stuff I would share to, like, friends or family that I thought was funny.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, in a group chat or even, mm-hmm. like, on my Instagram where I only have my friends and right. family. You know what I mean? Like, not on a public, like, a domain.
Public account, yeah.
Yeah.
And she also said, but she's, like, filtering comments. And I'm like, so...
You can't do that.
But, like, you can, like...
Not with that.
I think, like, on TikTok, you can disable, like, certain words. Like, if people put in a sure. certain word, like, won't come up in your comments. But that just means that you are aware that people are putting those comments on yes. your page. Like, it doesn't stop anything.
Yeah. And people use other words. Like, how many times on TikTok do people say, like, unalived?
Right,
or, like,
right.
Yeah, people can use other words. Like, it's out there. The only thing that she should do, in my opinion, is take down the account.
Yeah, she won't, because that's the only way she makes money is through that account.
Yeah.
And through, like, sponsors because of that account. Her sponsor should stop sponsoring her.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, I hope whatever, like, you know, a significant amount of money that she does make from this goes into an account for Ren for the future.
Which I'm sure it's not.
I'm sure it's paying for her rent or her mortgage or whatever, and car payments and just her fucking bills.
Yeah.
And then the next day terrible. Or like 2 days later, she went back to posting like what my toddler ate at the fair, and I'm like, we're back at this again.
Like, that's why I feel like it's not, like, do you think she actually has an attorney? Like, probably she does.
I'm sure she has an attorney,
I would hope so, but, like.
I'm sure she has an attorney, a publicist, like, whatever. 18 million followers, that's, like, one of, like, the bigger
yeah, that's
followings.
A lot.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Even just, like, random, like, influencers that I follow, they have, like, maybe 1 million, 2 million followers.
True. I guess I wouldn't know how to handle that many followers. In my mind, I'm like, oh, it's like 18 million. You could just like, it's fine.
Just edit them out.
Yeah. Answer them.
I don't. She's gross. I hope like something like majorly changes.
I agree.
So that was that.
Mm-hmm. And then, I was going to say Baby Fern, but it's not Baby Fern now. Baby Fern number 2 was born.
Baby Cashew.
Baby Shoe.
Yeah, Alice Weird Alice from Alice and Fern had her other baby.
I was actually shocked. In my mind, I wasn't totally even sold that she was actually pregnant. I'm like, until I see this baby, I won't believe it.
Well, her whole pregnancy and her birth is so problematic. Like, it seems like the baby is fine and that she's fine, which is, like, I'm glad everyone's healthy and, like, safe. But so many things could have gone wrong.
Oh, my God. And didn't she have him or her, like, somewhere not at home?
No, I don't know if it was at their home, but she had the baby in a bathtub, like, in wherever they're living. Okay. Yeah.
Good.
She had the baby in the bathtub. She's a free birther, so it was obviously, like, unmedicated, but also no medical intervention. It was just her and her husband in the bathtub having
this baby. At least it wasn't just her and baby Fern.
Yeah, right? That's what I was
scared of.
Yeah. So she had the baby, and she had a lotus birth.
Yeah, I've unfortunately seen placenta already. Not that placentas are gross, but the way that she just had it presented.
Yeah, so for those who don't know, a lotus birth means that after you have the baby, in a typical birth, I should say, after you give birth to a baby, you have to, like, birth the placenta.
Yeah.
And then you cut the cord of the placenta. So.
Wait, does the placenta hurt when it comes out?
It didn't hurt, like, the way it hurt having the baby. It was more so just, like, a little uncomfortable. Like, they push down on your belly and, like, for me anyway, they push down on my belly and, like, the placenta just kind of, like, came out. It didn't hurt that bad.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. That was my experience. I don't know. Maybe some other people it hurt more. I don't know. But for the lotus, so, like, when you have a typical birth, they cut the cord and then they discard the placenta. Mm-hmm. Because the placenta, after you have the baby, like, is a useless organ. Like, right. Like, it's a decaying organ.
You don't need it.
Yeah. So, and, like, so with a lotus birth, what they do is they keep the placenta attached to the baby until the cord or the placenta naturally detaches on its own. So the thing is, because, like, so I guess I think, like, because the placenta continues to provide nutrients to the baby.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The placenta starts clotting within minutes after it's released from the body. Yeah. So once it starts clotting, there's no nutrients going from the, it's outside of your body. Like, there's no nutrients coming.
Yeah, it's not hooked up to anything.
No. And so you have a decaying organ attached to a baby, and I don't want to sound like insensitive, because some, like, people do it, it's like a cultural thing, and, like, I respect that as much as I can, but, like, scientifically, it serves no purpose. Sense. So, like, after you have this placenta attached to this baby, you have to, like, season it, like, with salt and herbs, because it's a rotting organ attached to your baby, so it fucking reeks. So you have to put, like, I don't know, fucking, like, turmeric on it so it doesn't. I don't know what herbs they use.
So gross. But when I first saw the picture of it, I was like,
yeah, she, like, has it in a bowl attached to her baby. And the thing is, so what I've been reading about lotus birth, and when I say reading, I mean listening to other TikToks about it.
Yeah, same.
Is that it can actually be harmful to the baby because it's susceptible to infection and it's attached to the baby, so the baby can get infected. And, of course, Alice isn't giving her baby any medications, no vaccines, like, anything. And when they're newborns, they have, like, no immune system, really. So they're super susceptible to get sick from having a rotting organ attached to them for, like, 7 to 10 days. So that happened.
It is so different to see. I was actually shocked. I, for some reason, in my mind, a placenta was much smaller.
Oh, that's big.
No, it is big.
Yeah.
Like, I know what a placenta is shaped like, but, like, I don't know, in my mind, in, like, pictures, I'm like, oh, that's, like, pretty small. But
it's like a pillow.
It's a large thing.
It's like a throw pillow.
Yeah. Oh. But he has become, or he or she has become decorded.
Yes.
I did see that.
I did see baby no longer has a decaying organ attached to it.
He or she is cute.
Yeah, I think it's a boy, because I could have sworn she said he in one of her videos, but...
Yeah.
I think, like, in text, she's not referring to the baby as he or she yet. But
yeah.
The baby's name is Cashew. Ugh. Like the nut. Because she likes cashew milk. And listen,
she likes cashew drink.
I love me some cashew milk.
Oh, they're so good.
But I'm not naming my baby after a nut.
Poor baby.
And so she's calling the baby Shoe for short. I'm like, why don't you call it Cash?
Right, that it makes more sense. Shoe.
Baby Shoe.
Baby Cash is much cuter and much less...
weird.
Alarming.
Well, oh my God. Anyway, well, I hope that... Shoe and Alice and Fern and whatever are all happy and healthy.
I hope so too.
I just think she's so problematic.
I feel really bad for baby Fern because I feel like he's gonna get neglected now.
Well, I think if baby Shoe was a girl, I think she's just gonna throw baby Fern like
out
the streets. But
oh, if baby Shoe's a girl, he's in for a long road. Poor thing.
I was on Reddit, the Alice Snark Reddit.
I get fucking notifications for that Reddit.
But people are saying that they think baby Shoe is a boy because Alice went on like a fucking Target run 3 days postpartum. And they were like, if baby Shoe was a girl, she would not leave her side because of her trauma from her first birth.
Right.
But I don't know. Well, I guess we'll have to wait and see.
She'll probably never tell us.
Did you see, do you follow her spam account?
The, like, Alice Alani spam.
Yeah. So, she, when the baby still had the placenta attached to it, she took it to see their grandparents. And I was like, she just had the baby attach this placenta. Like, so you have to hold the baby in the placenta as you're tossing the baby around. Like, I was, like, grossed out having Remy's little cord from, like, on his belly button for, like, the first week after he was born.
Yeah.
Never mind a whole fucking organ attached to him.
It's the seasoning that really gets me. That's what really, like, pushes me over the edge.
It's so gross.
And the fact that they call it seasoning. They can't call it, like, preserving or, like, something else.
Because it's literally, like, salt and fucking rosemary that they're throwing on it. Her husband had like fucking like a Himalayan salt grinder
putting on the placenta. So gross. It's so weird, and I don't think she's doing it for religious purposes.
No,
so that's the only reason
all.
I feel comfortable making fun of her. Like, I think she's doing it because she believes that's smart. Yeah, to be crunchy.
Oh, God.
You know, world topics.
Yeah, really relevant topics that we have here. Fucking making fun of, like, 20-year-olds on TikTok.
Oh, my God. I don't care. You know what? They both should be made fun of because they're both problematic as fuck.
Agreed.
What is Ren's mom's name again?
Jacqueline.
I actually think she's way more problematic than Alice.
I think Jacqueline is more problematic directly to Ren, whereas Alice is more problematic to new, like, crunchy moms.
To, like, women in general.
Yeah.
It's just sad.
God.
Well, should we probably get on with our topics?
Probably. I've been talking for like an hour.
Mine's very short, so.
Well, do you want to go first or want me to go first?
Maybe I'll go first since mine is very short.
Okay.
Okay, did we talk about the thing with Annabelle last time with the deer? Did we talk about this on here?
I don't know if we talked about it on here or if you just talked to me about it. I don't remember. I think maybe you just talked to me about it, like, off the podcast. I don't remember.
I don't remember either. But, okay, so long story short, two listeners, not to freak you guys out, but we had Katie on here, mm-hmm. and she told us about how, when she was listening to the Annabelle episode, a deer ran out in front of her while she was driving and smashed the front of her car.
Oh, that's what it was. Katie talked about it when she was on the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay, so she talked about that. She was fine. Just her car got a little beat up. Then after the podcast came out, like a little while afterwards, I think it was Chloe?
No, Kleena.
No, it was...
Was it Chloe?
I think it was Chloe. Because she's... I think it was Chloe. I think she lives in Florida.
Oh, okay.
I think so. She sent a message saying that while she was listening to the Annabelle episode, a deer ran out in front of her car and she hit it. Isn't that scary?
That's creepy.
I do not like that.
No. As much as I don't believe in Annabelle, that made me like...
It gave me the heebie-jeebies. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I was like, gonna do another regular true crime one like I like to do. But I was like, I'm gonna do something scary. So I picked a haunted doll.
Another one.
Yeah, another one. And maybe we did this already, but I don't remember it. Because the doll doesn't have a name, so...
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, and then I convinced myself that I had a migraine because of this podcast topic.
Stop it.
I also drank for 4 days in a row.
That was probably it.
And then I'm guessing that might have been more likely, but I don't know. Who knows?
Before you get talking about your haunted doll, I know I told you, but I didn't mention on here, like... Not long after I went on maternity leave, someone on, like, my local Facebook marketplace was trying to sell haunted dolls. And it was, like, the same person posting multiple, quote-unquote, haunted dolls. And all the haunted dolls that we've covered on this podcast, I would say they don't look like the Annabelle movie version of the doll. No. They look like normal dolls or puppets or whatever. So this girl on Facebook... like, straight up went to, like, Walmart and bought, like, dolls and, like, put makeup on them and, like, dirtied them up and she posted these, like, stories that are attached to these dolls and was trying to sell them on Facebook Marketplace. Like, not one, just trying to get, you know, a couple of bucks, like, multiple dolls that she posted on Marketplace. And I screenshot them and I sent them to you.
Like, why? I hope she sold them.
What are you doing?
We should, maybe that's an untapped business opportunity for us.
Well, at first I was like, this is weird, but then I kept seeing it come up and then people started commenting. They're like, can you stop? Like, would you
stop it? Like, stop.
Like, these aren't haunted.
Well, you got them, they were at Walmart 3 days ago.
I should see my screenshots if I still have them. We should post them on our Instagram story.
Oh my God, yes. You definitely, I might still even have them.
Oh, God. All right, sorry.
Oh, it's okay. Don't worry. I'm going to drag this one out as much as possible. Good. But, okay, so the way that I found this was it was the most haunted doll in, like, London, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't even London. Okay. Maybe. It's the amount, okay, so all of the information and all of the, like, sources that I have are all, like, the Sun UK or, like, the Mirror UK.
All, like, tabloids.
Yes. And so, okay. So in 2017, a woman named Debbie Merrick, she was 50 years old, was out with her husband walking, Norfolk. Mm-hmm. So that's not London, but I think they were in London this day. Mm-hmm. And they were walking past a bargain, like a secondhand shop. And as they entered, they were having a little sale. a like 5 pound sail, which I think is like $650. So they went into the store and they saw these three porcelain dolls and they were like, we have to have them. And like neither of them really liked dolls, but they're like, we must get them.
They were drawn to them.
They were entranced by these three dolls.
It was the lady on Facebook Marketplace that was selling the 5 pound sale. They were out.
The bargain place was actually a Walmart. And they were walking. She's like, I got these three dolls. They were from Walmart, but they are all haunted. So let's sell them online. Surprise. So Debbie, like, she got home, and I guess she originally put the dolls in the guest bedroom. Mm-hmm. And then she was having company stay over. So she's like, I got to move them because they're in the guest bedroom. So she put them in her room. And she had one under the bed, one on top of the wardrobe, and one in the drawer of the wardrobe.
Which weird. Is okay.
Super fucking weird. And she said in one of the interviews in one of the tabloids that I was at reading, she said that she doesn't know why she decided to buy the dolls, and she felt that it was very strange that she wanted to buy the dolls, but at the time she wasn't even thinking about it. She said, the quote is, they were really cheap. They're only 5 pounds, I think, and I thought they would probably be worth quite a bit of money. So almost exactly like the Walmart lady. But like, they at least looked old, you know?
Right. They look authentic.
So Debbie, out of the three dolls, Debbie like really didn't like one. And she had quite an aversion to this doll.
Oh no.
And the reason why I ended up picking this doll is because it's like a bridal doll. Like, mm-hmm. She's like a bride.
Oh.
So I was like, oh, on theme. But it's like an old doll. She's like pretty tall, more like marionette shaped than like doll shaped. She has big voluminous, like a big voluminous hair,
cool.
Like bun. And she's dressed in a wedding dress with a pearl necklace on. She's a lovely doll.
Sure.
Like, I would never look at her and be like, oh, ew. Like, she's pretty, I guess. But like after a week after purchasing the doll, as you may have guessed, some strange things started happening.
Of course.
In the Merrick household. And so as reported by The Sun, a reliable source.
Of course.
Debbie claims that the haunted doll, or what she believed was the haunted doll, moved, or the spirit of it moved throughout the house. It set off smoke alarms in the middle of the night, even started to change the temperature in the rooms of the house.
Yuck.
And she had said that she, during the night, also heard floorboards creaking, which she originally thought was her daughter just kind of like walking around, you know, going to the bathroom. And when she would go outside or go out into the hallway, there was nobody there, of course.
Of course.
So the doll moved around by itself, like changed positions in the house, according to Debbie and her husband. Though Debbie's husband is like not a believer in this kind of stuff.
He's like, Debbie, you're moving the doll.
He's like, Debbie, calm the fuck down. But one day her husband woke up and he had scratches on his leg.
Debbie getting frisky.
Oh, that's what he said. He's like, I thought maybe it was my wife. And, and then she's like, no, we actually sleep quite a bit apart from each other. And I was like, because there's an interview with them that's like their infamous interview. But yeah. So if you see like the little scratches, they're like, they look like maybe like a little hand would do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Or like a cat, probably. But he
like had an itch in the middle of the night and scratched his own leg.
I got like 25 bug bites just out being outside for 1 second in Savannah, and I've like ripped my skin apart. But yeah, so he complained of scratches on his legs while he was sleeping, and they were very small, almost doll-like scratches. Debbie also complained that she had been having nightmares of a doll dragging itself along the floor, reaching out towards her. Yeah.
I don't like that.
No. So, in one interview, I don't know how legit this is. I guess she said in an interview that ever since she was, like, a little girl, she always was, like, kind of sensitive. Mm-hmm. Towards things, and like all the women in her family were sensitive.
Right.
Personally, I think that I think Debbie's full of shit. I'm not saying anything mean about the doll. I just think Debbie is. So Debbie had a friend who was also a medium, of course. And the medium told her that the doll had something in it or something attached to it. So Debbie was like, you know what, it's going out. So she took the doll and she put it out in the shed in the backyard.
Of course.
And then later that same day, Debbie entered the shed only to find that the doll had moved inside the shed without anybody being in there, and her pearl necklace had been taken off.
Dun, dun, dun.
Which like actually is kind of scary.
We have a shed, and I have never even been inside of our shed.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, that's Eric's responsibility. I'm not going in our shed.
I will not go in a shed. No. I would like a shed, probably.
I have no idea. I mean, it's like an old shed. It needs to be, like, replaced. But I'm like, that's where Eric has, like, the lawnmower and stuff. And I'm like, I'm not going in there. I have no business to go in that shed.
I'm not mowing the lawn.
I don't do yard work.
I wouldn't. We already discussed that when we get a house, we're going to hire someone.
It's well, just, when we're
budgeting it.
When we were looking at houses, I would say to Eric, like, what do you think about the lawn? Because that's your responsibility. Like, I'm not doing it. So, and we have, like, a pretty, like, decent-sized backyard. I was like, you chose this, Eric. You said okay.
Mm-hmm. You said okay. And when Remy's older, you can make him do it.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, Remy. That and the garbage he has to take out.
Oh, see, I'll do the garbage.
I won't do the garbage.
But I don't mind it. I'm like a freak about it. So I take it out like once a day.
Oh my gosh.
Only because I don't... We have a small garbage can because there's like nowhere good in our apartment to keep garbage.
Yeah.
So I don't like to have too much garbage.
Eric took the garbage out last night, but he forgot to put it to the curb. So me and Remy had to take it to the curb this morning.
How rude.
So I had Remy in like the carrier walking around. I was like, this is gonna be your responsibility.
This is your job. You gotta step up.
I was like, Jesus Christ, you scared the shit.
Oh my god. His little tail.
Like his whiskers touched me. I thought it was like a bug or something.
But yeah, so she put the doll in the shed. And then when she moved around inside of the shed, Debbie was like, fuck this, and then put it on eBay.
Where all the haunted dolls go.
Exactly. Why is that your first choice?
eBay emailed me the other day. They're like, are you still using your account? I'm like, I haven't bought anything off eBay
not
in like
2000. But I mean, this was 2017, so maybe like the market for haunted dolls is still pretty popular.
I'm sure it's still something. I'll have to ask my Facebook friend to see if she puts
like, her doll. Could you tell me a little bit? Could you like give me some insight on the market value of haunted dolls these days? She'd be like, "Shut the fuck up."
She's like, "Don't make fun of me.
Don't talk about me. That's not nice." But. So she put her on eBay, and she was just hoping to like make like a couple dollars or like pounds. But she didn't realize like how affluent the doll market was, doll market was in 2017, and she made, and I realized I didn't do the conversion for this. Hold on. I think £806.
Well, I think now the pound is pretty much it's equal changed. To the dollar.
806 pounds is $984.41.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So she made about $1,000. She got it for $6.
Dang, girl.
Yeah.
Yo, so people eBay buying haunted dolls want, they're like, I don't need any proof. I don't need any documentation.
I'll give you $1,000.
You're basically buying a story.
Yeah. So, she sold it to a paranormal investigator named Lee Steer from Rotherham, who paid, he paid a whopping 866 pounds.
Okay.
After a bidding war broke up. And then, so the most well-known part of this case, kind of how I found it, was they appeared on a television talk show called This Morning.
Mm-hmm.
And the talk show, it's like, the footage is a little bit creepy, like, definitely, like, when I'm, if I was, I was home alone at night watching it, so I'm like, oh, I don't like this. But they interview the Derricks, or the Merricks. They had flown them out, and the Merricks spent the night with the doll in the hotel room. And then they brought it onto the set, and they had the, like, Merrick sitting, and you can find this super easy if you just look up Debbie Merrick. They're sitting there, and then the doll's sitting by herself in a rocking chair.
Ew, of course, in a rocking chair.
Of course. And then it just starts rocking, and they're like, did you do that? and it just keeps rocking the whole time, and the lady's like, and Debbie's like, I can't even look at it, like, and they're like, well, basically just making fun of the doll the whole time, and I'm like, you guys are fucking idiots. Why would you do that? Like, whatever. So this guy gets the chair, and this guy gets the doll, and from what I understand, he's still being haunted by this doll today. He still has her and is experiencing very similar things, like weird noises, voices, also scratching. It's Lee Steer's dad, I believe, who's getting scratched by this doll, which is very strange. Hold on. Okay, yeah, so after Lee Steer bought the doll for research and investigation, his father found himself at the receiving end of the doll's wrath. Steer has done live streams on social media with the doll, and it attacked his father while he was watching the repeat of one of the live streams.
Oh, God.
He said, later that day, he was watching the repeat of one of our live streams with the doll. I was doing a live stream upstairs in my room. Then he said to my mom, my arm's hurting. He lifted up his sleeve and had 6 scratches on his arm. So the doll's name is apparently now Elizabeth. And he has made live videos with her on IndianaExpress.com, whatever the fuck that is. But he has not been able to verify the authenticity of any of the claims, and the videos have gone viral and are widely shared online.
So only one of the 3 dolls that she bought was haunted?
Yes.
Dang. Luck of the draw.
Like, what about the other 2 dolls?
Yeah, they're just like, we're normal dolls. This one's like,
sorry that she's scary. We're not.
Keep us. We don't want them on the shed.
We were nice. and that's the story of Elizabeth, the most haunted doll in London.
The most haunted doll in London.
In London. So just a little shorty, but you know, it's a busy time, but you know, I gotta do a little shorty.
We love
and
it.
I was scared.
you get scared very easily.
I know, but I was scared of this one. And I'm still convinced my head hurts because of it.
Stop. You're fine. Everything's fine. Everything's fine.
But I did a haunted one.
Good. Erica. I haven't done a haunted one in a while. Well, not me. I mean, like, the podcast. I have just not been here for a long time.
No. And it's totally my fault because I am too scared. So I thought I would branch out.
Okay, Let's see which one of my 8 untitled documents is my story.
I promise after the wedding is over, I will have way more interesting and full of life content.
Full of life content. My documents, the first document that pops up is my notes from the 1909 Savannah axe murders.
Oh, that's one of the ones that we learned about. I'm like, I'm going to do this for the podcast. And I texted you and you're like, we already did it.
I think I did it when I went to Savannah.
I think you did. We're super original.
Yeah. Well, here's another original one because I don't know if we did this case already or not. Okay. And I didn't even like go to check. I was like, I should check to see if we did this, but like, I don't remember doing it, but it's very possible that we did. And if we did, I'm sorry, we're revisiting it.
the only way that it makes it sound like.
Okay, I have a disappearance case.
Oh, yes.
Of Brian Randall Schaefer. Ring any bells?
I don't think so.
Okay, I guess we'll see.
But yeah.
This is the case of the disappearance of Brian Randall Schaefer. I think it's Schaefer. S-H-A-F-F-E-R.
Yeah, I would think it's Schaefer.
Okay. So, Brian Randall Schaefer was born on February 25th, 1979 in Pickerington, Ohio, which is a suburb of Columbus. He was the son of Randy and Renee Schaefer, and he had one younger brother. I don't have much information about his upbringing. They seem like a pretty typical family. Like, I didn't see anything about any like trauma or anything like that. He graduated high school in 1997 and then went on to Ohio State University and graduated with a degree in microbiology. And then he went on to attend Ohio State University College of Medicine in 2004.
Smarty.
He's going to be a doctor. So 2 years into med school, his mother actually died of cancer, which was obviously very difficult for him.
Yeah.
Also, while in med school, he started dating a woman named Alexis Wagoner. And it was believed that Brian was planning to propose to her during their trip to Miami for spring break in 2006. Brian was looking forward to a relaxing trip, and he enjoyed going to tropical places, and he told friends that, you know, despite his decision to pursue a career in medicine, that his real, like, hope and passion was to actually just be, to start a band and play music like Jimmy Buffett.
Then why did you waste your time going to medical school?
I feel like some people do that. I'm smart. True. I can do it, so I might as well.
But.
Well, neither would be the case. So, we go to March 31st, 2006. It's a Friday, and Ohio State University just finished up classes before spring break. Brian and his dad went out for a steak dinner to celebrate. At dinner, later on, his dad would say that Brian looked really tired, and Brian said that he had pulled a few all-nighters earlier in the week studying for his exams. And after dinner, Brian had plans to go out with friends, you know, to go to a couple of bars, but his dad didn't think that was a good idea because he was so tired. Yeah. But, you know, it's spring break, so whatever. So after dinner, Brian met up with his friend William Clint Florence. He met up with him at 9 p.m. at a bar called the Ugly Tuna Saluna.
Oh, my God.
Around 10 p.m., Brian called his girlfriend just to check in and let her know, like, hey, and just wanted to check in with you. His girlfriend was actually visiting her family at her home in Toledo. And she was staying there for a couple of days before they had their flight scheduled to go to their trip to Miami, which was going to be on Monday. So Brian and Clint went to a few bars, and they had a shot each at each bar they went to. Then after midnight, Brian and Clint met up with their friend Meredith Reed. And Meredith ended up giving them a ride back to the Ugly Tuna where they first started the night off.
Yeah.
And they went there with Meredith and they were going to have, you know, one last drink together because it was getting close to last call. So at the Ugly Tuna, Brian separated from Clint and Meredith. So 2 a.m. hits, which is when the bar closes. And Clint and Meredith go outside to wait for Brian. Like, they assumed, like, he was, like, maybe in the bathroom or, like, saw someone and said hi. So, like, we'll just wait for him to come outside and then we'll go home. So, they're sitting out, they're standing outside there waiting for him. The crowd exits the bar and the bar empties, but there's no Brian. So, they're like, oh, maybe he just, oh, yes.
Wait, I don't know that we did this one, but I think I've heard this one before because I think I also didn't do this one because I thought that we did this one.
Watch, we probably did do it. I don't know.
Watch, we probably did it. I don't know. But no, I feel like I might know it. I don't know. I'm sorry. Okay, okay. But I don't think so. I don't think we did this.
So Brian didn't come out of the bar, so they just figured that maybe he had left the bar on his own and went back home without telling them. So over the weekend, Brian's dad and his girlfriend both tried calling Brian, but Brian never picked up the phone. And again, they were supposed to go out. Brian and his girlfriend were supposed to catch a flight to Miami on Monday. So yeah. She's not getting in touch with him. So Monday comes and their flight time comes. So his girlfriend goes to the airport, like, hoping that, like, he just shows up.
Yeah.
But he doesn't. And they... he's just not there. So when he missed his flight, that's when they filed a missing persons report for Brian. So the police start their investigation. And
I'm sorry. No, I just looked it up on our thing and it doesn't come up. So I don't think we did.
Okay.
So I'm sorry.
Yay. So the police start their investigation and they go to the Ugly Tuna. They check the Ugly Tuna's cameras, and they find they find footage of Brian, Clint, and Meredith going into the bar around 1:15 a.m. Around 1:55 a.m., there's footage of Brian outside of the bar talking to two women, and it looks like he's saying goodbye to them, and then they, like, part ways. Mm. And then Brian goes off camera in the direction of the bar, but he's off camera, so we can't see him actually going back into the bar, but that's
right.
Assumed because that's the direction he was going. But then there's no footage of him leaving the Ugly Tuna when they close at 2 a.m. And the Ugly Tuna only has one public entrance and exit, so there's only one way to get in and out for the public. So there is a theory that the reason he wasn't seen on camera leaving was because when he went back into the bar, he, like, changed his clothes, put on a disguise, or, like, put on a hat and, like, looked down. And maybe that's why the police didn't see him leaving on camera.
Yeah.
But after, like, intensively analyzing the video footage, they were able to identify every single person that left the bar that night. If they were able to identify everyone and Brian wasn't one of those people, then that means Brian did not leave through the public entrance of the bar. The police actually put out a statement in 2014 that they said after extensive review of the tapes, they can say with 100% certainty that Brian did not leave through the front of the Ugly Tuna Saluna. So he did not leave through that door. There is a theory, however, that he left through the back door.
Okay.
So there's a back door that's only used by employees. And at that time, the back door actually leads into a construction site that was like heavily under construction. So there's a theory that maybe, well, it's assumed that Brian was intoxicated because he was drinking all night at several bars. So there's a theory that he somehow made his way to the back door of this bar and went into the construction site and got confused, stumbled around, and, like, had an accident and died somewhere on this construction site.
Which seems plausible.
Yeah. One source actually said that the construction site was difficult to navigate sober during the daylight, never mind probably being probably being intoxicated at night.
Yeah.
So the police went during their investigation, and they like started searching the area. They brought police dogs out. They started looking in like dumpsters, waste containers. They started asking people around, like asking if anyone saw him. So they searched the area. They searched where you may think a body would be, mm-hmm. but they never found a body. They even checked like the sewer system to see if he was put in the sewer system. They really didn't find anything. They went back to Brian's apartment, which was 6 blocks away from the bar. His car was still parked there inside the apartment, and looked like nothing was missing. Like, his personal belongings were still there. His clothes were all still there. Like, nothing mm-hmm. was missing from his apartment. So then the police started thinking, like, as they do, like, maybe he went off on his own, of his own accord. Yeah, he just
ran away.
Yeah. So they started thinking maybe he left voluntarily to grieve the passing of his mother, and just, like, didn't come back. But people were like, he, obviously they said, like, he wouldn't do that. They said, like, if he did go away to grieve, he would have come back by now. Like, he would just be gone forever. The people that Brian was hanging out with that night, they were asked to take polygraph tests. Meredith, the girl that was hanging out with him and Clint, she took a polygraph and she passed. His dad took a polygraph and he passed. Clint, however, refused to take a polygraph.
I mean, I would.
I was going to say,
you
like...
You know that, we would.
Yeah, I wouldn't take a polygraph. There's no reason to do so, I believe. The two women that Brian was seen talking to towards the end of the night, years later, they came out and they said that they were never asked to take a polygraph, but...
Interesting.
I don't... Like, they parted ways with them, so I don't know if, like, the police even wanted their polygraph. I don't know if they thought they had anything to do with it. After Brian's disappearance, his girlfriend called his phone every night, and...
Ugh.
Yeah. And it would go to his voicemail, and I assume she just called just to, like, you know, hear his voice. Or so maybe, sad. Like, hoping that he would pick up one day.
Right.
But then one night in September, instead of going straight to voicemail, the phone rang 3 times. So she was like, she said it was, like, the most amazing sound she ever heard because, like, why was it ringing? So the phone company, which was Singular, they said that it must have just been a computer glitch. But they said that the phone pinged and was tracked to a cell tower in Hillard, which was 14 miles northwest of Columbus.
Okay.
So I don't know anything about, like, cell phone towers or how it works, but, like, if it pinged, like, I don't know how that's a computer glitch if it pinged off a cell tower.
Right, because it has to be there or in the vicinity.
And turned on.
Yes.
Yeah. So I don't... If someone can explain that to me, I don't know. I don't know how that works. So years start passing by. The police are getting claims of sightings of Brian in Texas, Michigan, and even Sweden, but all of them proved to go nowhere. Kind of in, like, desperation, Brian's dad went to go see a psychic, and the psychic told his dad that Brian's body was in a body of water near a bridge pier. So supporters of Brian and his family spent a lot of time searching the shores of the Olentangy River.
Mm-hmm.
So because they started searching bodies of water, a new theory came about that Brian was a victim of the quote-unquote smiley face killer.
I freaking knew it.
So we've talked about it before, but just a reminder, smiley face killer is a theorized serial killer or group of serial killers whose victims are classified as young, college-aged white men who are killed after, like, going on a, you know, a bar crawl, or they're drunk, mm-hmm. and their bodies are found in bodies or near bodies of water, and close to their bodies there's, like, a graffiti of a smiley face.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, maybe the smiley face killer, that could be like a split topic because it's a theory. Maybe that's one we could do together at some point.
Totally.
We have to figure out how to do it.
There's so, I know, it would be very complicated. It wouldn't actually be that complicated, but like, do you think they're real?
I don't know. A part of me is like, we can talk about this, but like, the smiley face killers, if that's real, it's like the most advanced, like, underground group of serial killers ever. Because there's so many cases that are attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I don't either. But
we'll have to do some research and
report back. It's a different topic for a different day.
Yeah. But if it was the smiley... Well, here... The reason a lot of people don't think it's the smiley face killer is because then if it was the smiley face killer, it would be the only victim whose body was not found, allegedly.
That is true. They're almost always found.
Yeah.
Technically. Is what people say.
Right. So, I don't know. And also, I don't know if there was a quote-unquote smiley face. Well, how would there be a smiley face if there was no body? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, 2 years pass after he went missing, and we go to September 2008, and Brian's dad, Randy, dies in a freak accident. So, Randy was cleaning his yard in his Baltimore home after there was, like, debris in his yard after a windstorm, and a branch... flew from a tree and fatally hit him.
Oh, God.
And his body was found the next day by his neighbors. Like,
no.
Just like a freak accident. So when his dad died, his obituary was posted online. And, you know, like the funeral homes, you can go and like write your condolences or whatever. So on the page for his obituary, a condolence read, "To Dad, love Brian," and it said the location was the U.S. Virgin Islands.
Oh my God, I don't like that.
But well, upon investigation, it was found that the comment came from a public computer from Franklin County, Ohio, and it was found to be a hoax that it wasn't Brian.
What is wrong with people?
Like, for what?
Yeah, what do you get out of that?
Like, if Brian was in the same county where he went missing, they would have found him. Like, he wasn't just using, like, a computer cafe in the same town he went missing. Same county. Ugh. So Clint, the friend that he was with, the one that refused to take a polygraph test, he kind of just, like, stopped talking to the detectives, and he continued to refuse to take a lie detector test. His attorney, Neil Rosenberg, reached out to Don Corbett, who was a private investigator helping the family, because I guess the PI was, I don't know, he kept like trying to reach out to Clint and kept asking him to take a polygraph test.
Yeah.
So the lawyer reached out to the PI and basically told him that in the lawyer's communication with the police, they believe that Brian is still alive. And the attorney said, like, if Brian is still alive, he's the one that's causing pain and suffering to his family, not my client, Clint. So, like, leave my client alone because the police think Brian's alive. So it has nothing to do with Clint.
I mean, I have to agree with them.
Yeah, yeah. The attorney went on to say that Clint already told the police everything that he knows about that night. And he said, he's not going to repeat himself. He has
no,
he doesn't think there's any reason to have to repeat himself. He told them everything he already knows. Mm. But a lot of people think that Clint knows more because him and Brian were very close.
Yeah.
Some people believe that Brian took off and Clint knows where he is and why he took off. And then, of course, other people think that Brian died, but they think Clint knows the circumstances of his death.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, if Clint's, like, a very good friend of Brian and Brian wanted to go missing and Clint knows where he went, maybe he's just not saying, because Brian doesn't want people to know where he went.
I can't imagine that. Well, I guess maybe he wouldn't have known that his dad was gonna die, but your best friend's parent was dying, and they're like, I just wish I could see my son, or something like that, and you knew where they were and how to contact them. Like,
well, I think too, because it's from what it sounds like that Brian was very close to his parents, and like his mom's death was very hard for him. So I don't know that he would just like leave with his dad with like this broken heart of like his wife died and now his older son is just gone, like out of thin air, you know?
Yeah, and if his friend doesn't know anything about it, maybe he wanted to get away from everybody, even including like his close friend.
Right. So in 2014, the police said that they have 3 theories regarding what happened to Brian, but they refused to share those theories.
What?
So I don't know what the theories are regarding what the police think happened. Why would they
not share them?
I don't know. In 2019, an image of a homeless man in Tijuana, Mexico, that looked like Brian started circulating online. Mm-hmm. The image was sent to the FBI, and the FBI ran the image through facial recognition software, and it ruled out that that was an image of Brian. And then most recently, March 2021, the Ohio Bureau of Criminal Investigation released an age-progressed photo of what Brian might look like at the age of 42, nearly 15 years after his disappearance.
Wow.
So, Brian is still missing. So, just to give, like, a summary, he went missing on April 1st, 2006, from Columbus, Ohio. He is a white male. At the time he went missing, he was 27 years old. He was 6'2", weighed between 160 and 165 pounds, brown hair, hazel eyes. He has a tattoo on his upper right arm of a, it's like a Pearl Jam tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a dot on the left eye iris, which is like very distinct. Like I said, he was a medical student. He was into music. He played guitars. So if anyone knows where he could possibly be or has possibly seen him, they're asked to call the Columbus Police Department. Their phone number is 614-645-4624. Or you can email the detective that's on the case, Andre Edwards, at aedwards@columbuspolice.org. Or you can contact the FBI VICAP at 800-634-4097 or at vicap@leo.gov. And the tattoo reminded me, their Pearl Jam played in Ohio not too long after Brian went missing, and the lead singer, Eddie Vedder, actually took time between songs to ask for tips regarding Brian's disappearance. And
oh, wow.
Some tips did come in, but like I said, they like didn't really lead to anything.
Oh.
So that's the disappearance of Brian Schaefer. I don't know what happened. I don't even have a theory.
Mm-mm. That's an unsettling one.
Yeah. And I forgot to mention, too. Oh, I'm so bad. I mentioned that they, look at the footage from the Ugly Tuna. But they also pulled footage of surrounding businesses and bars as well. And Brian wasn't found on any of their footage either.
It doesn't make sense.
The only thing, so a lot of people think, he died in the Ugly Tuna saloon.
And they, carried him out in a bag or something?
I don't know, but it's,
I was thinking about that.
It's, if he died in there, did someone kill him in there? Did he, I don't know, overdose or have alcohol poisoning? I don't know, but, if he died there, did, like, the ugly tuna, like, not want to be held, like, liable? Like, I don't know.
That's kind of what I was thinking. Like, maybe he did, maybe, I don't know, here's just, like, a theory that maybe he was already pretty intoxicated. Well, they started there, right?
They started there, but, like,
and then,
so they started there at, like, 10 p.m., or mm-hmm. 9 p.m., I think. And they ended there at 2. So they were drinking from 9 to 2, and they were bar hopping. I don't know how many bars they went to, but they had one shot at every bar they went to.
So you can get pretty drunk that way.
But he was like a big guy. He was 6'2".
True.
But he was also, like, exhausted from pulling all-nighters, and that'll, like, fuck you up in combination with drinking. He was exhausted.
Maybe he was doing, like, some kind of a recreational drug.
Right, right.
And something just didn't mix well with him.
Yeah. But if he died there, like, so where's his body? What'd the ugly tuna do with it?
Well, maybe the ugly tuna Saluna did not want to be held responsible.
Listen, you know your what name I mean? Like, what are you gonna do? Like, lose business? Your name's Ugly Tuna. Like, what's what kind of clientele do you have?
Apparently not good clientele.
But they pulled the footage, so they would have seen, like, a body bag thing. I don't know. That I don't want to get, like, too, like, dark, like cut up the body. Well, I don't know.
They could have. Or, like,
at a bar? Like, what's your bar? Like, come on.
I know. You can't really get a... Well, did they serve food at the Ugly Tuna Saluna?
I think with the name, like, Ugly Tuna Saluna, they must have served food.
I would... Who knows? Maybe they had good... meat cleaver.
You're gonna, like, dismember a body with a meat cleaver because some college kid, like, drank too much at your bar? Like,
yeah, maybe.
I, like, was, like, a bartender, like, afraid that they overserved and, like, don't want to lose their bartending license? Like, come on.
So they're like, you know what? The only solution is to dismember this man.
I'm like, it's very sad this guy menacing, but, like, it's just...
No, and we're not laughing about that. It's just, like, this is so... I think there's nothing that's, like, probable that makes sense.
Nothing makes sense about this case.
But, like, that is, like, the most realistic one.
Yeah. Like, the only other thing I can think of is, like, he found, like, he was drunk and went into, like, the basement of the Ugly Tuna and found, like, a portal to another dimension. I don't know.
Or he got hooked up with the Ohio mob.
The Ohio mob.
I don't know if there is one, but, like, you never know, probably.
I think, like, these type of disappearances where, like, just, like, vanish into thin air is, like, the most eerie disappearances.
I know. I always think about that, like, how that must feel as you're, like, as a person whose loved one just disappeared that way. Like, that feeling of, like, I think when... You know, when someone's murdered, as unfortunate as it is, you know that they were murdered. Like
you have an answer, yeah.
Like, this way, you're just like, well, shit.
Where are they?
Are they there? Like, do they not want to come back? Like, what should I, like, right. Oh, I can't even imagine.
And, like, his girlfriend, too, like, just waiting at the airport, like, hoping he shows up. Like, she thinks that he died. She thinks that something happened. He died. Yeah.
Oh.
I think his brother thinks that he just went missing. Like, he just went away somewhere.
Well, I don't hope know. He's okay wherever he is.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I hope he's, maybe he changed his appearance and he's in a Jimmy Buffett cover band. I don't know.
Yeah. You never know. He might be.
Yeah. But yeah, I hope I didn't already cover that, or you didn't already cover it.
I don't think so.
Okay, so that was my little case.
Ooh, it's a heebie-jeebie one.
Heebie-jeebie, for sure. All right.
This is a perfect 1 hour and 30 minute episode.
Look at us.
Perfect, perfect, perfect.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. Next time we record, are you going to be a married woman, or...
I mean, I can probably record on Tuesday, most likely.
Well, if it's too much, you know, to record the week of your wedding, you just let me see. Know.
Yeah, I might not have, I don't know if I'll have anything Tuesday night, so.
Well, you let me know.
I'll let you know.
Okay, well, Thanks for listening. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Email us at butwhatdowenowpod@gmail.com. And we'll see you soon. What do we know? What do we know? What do we know? What do we know?